Amen. Once again, I want to say thank you to my husband and my pastor. I want to thank the Lord for he's my mentor, my big brother. When I was given this assignment, I said, why did I come into the office at that time? I was in discussion with Sister Betty. They were talking about today. It was not in the plan for me to be here, to standing here. He was supposed to be leading us, and I'm always happy not to be the one standing here. Just in the flit of an eye, next thing he said, my wife will minister. I said, huh? Well, lo and behold, that cup wasn't taken away. So, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Today is Mother's Day in America. I want to let you know that one special thing about this month is that I don't know if any other part of the world celebrates Mother's Day in May. But I know that in Nigeria and also in the United Kingdom, Mother's Day is celebrated in the month of March. But somehow, America chose May. And I'm not angry. You know why? My birthday is also this month. So every May, amen, I can expect to get a birthday gift and a Mother's Day gift. Whatever it is, in any order it comes, I'm not angry at all. Hallelujah. I thank God for this privilege. It's not something that I can ever take for granted or I will ever take for granted. So without much ado, let's go straight to today's word. By the leading of the Holy Spirit and the contributions for my mentors in the Lord, today's title is Every Woman Can Be Fulfilled. It's a message of hope. Amen. You know that one thing that I am very, very afraid to do is to stand in front of God's people in his house and say what is not operable in my life. Amen. So again, don't worry. I'm going to be telling on myself. I'm going to be using myself as examples. But today's title is Every Woman Can Be Fulfilled. And our Bible text today is taken from the book of 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 4. I'm going to read from verse 8 to 18a. 2 Kings 4, 8 to 18a. Pray that the Lord will accept this reading in Jesus' name. Now it happened one day that Elisha went to Shunem, where there was a notable woman, and she persuaded him to eat some food. So it was, as often as he passed by, he would turn in there to eat some food. And she said to her husband, "Look now, I know that this is a holy man of God who passes by us regularly. Please, let us make a small upper room on the wall, and let us put a bed for him there, and a table and a chair, and a lampstand. So it will be, whenever he comes to us, he can turn in there." And it happened one day that he came there and he turned in to the upper room and lay down there. Then he said to Gehazi, his servant, "Call this Shunammite woman." When he had called her, she stood before him. And he said to him, "Say now to her, 'Look, you have been concerned for us with all this care. What can I do for you? Do you want me to speak on your behalf to the king or to the commander of the army?' She answered, 'I dwell among my own people.' So he said, 'What then is to be done for her?' And Gehazi answered, 'Actually, she has no son, and her husband is old.' So he said, 'Call her.' When he called her, she stood in the doorway. Then he said, 'About this time next year, you shall embrace a son. And she said, no, my Lord, man of God, do not lie to your maidservant. But the woman conceived and bore a son. And when the appointed time had come, of which Elisha had told her, and the child grew. Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of his word in Jesus' mighty name. Now, in this scenario that we just read, we note that this woman had several things going on. Let's first of all look at the fact that she was a woman of status. The Bible records her as a notable woman, meaning that when you see her, anytime you saw her in her day, you wouldn't look at her as lacking anything. She was well-to-do. She was well-off. So she had substance, right? But there were two things that happened that were actually, there actually was a more major thing that lacked in her life. The Bible tells us that she did not have a son. And I also looked at the fact that her husband is old. Now, for me as a woman, I would think from her, I'm looking at it from her point of view. My husband is old. That means it's a possibility that nothing might happen at any point anymore because he was old. And then that's not even the major issue. The major issue for her was that she had no son. Now, she was barren. That is a major anytime, any day. I can tell you for starters right here that initially when I got married to my husband, there was a time I felt pregnant. And I said, honey, I think I am pregnant. Let's go and see the doctor. And yes, we were pregnant. Because we delayed in going to see the doctor for a time. And then when we eventually went, after their tests and everything, because, you know, thank God for the medical system in America, they are very diligent. They ran all the tests. But one thing that the doctor said was that there was a possibility of barrenness in my enemy. It wasn't me. We went home, we broke down. We were very unhappy at that news. But you see, the truth of the matter is that I had to comfort myself in the Lord. Do you understand what I'm saying? There are certain situations that no man can comfort you, not even your husband. Because it was a situation of despair for me. It was a moment of, oh my God, for me. You know how it is sometimes when you come face to face with these situations and the devil begins to take your mind back to your past and now begin to analyze and take like your past and put it under a microscope. Did you say something? Did somebody touch you in a funny way? What did you do exactly? You begin to wonder. And then the Lord ministered to me in my moment of despair. In the book of Esther, when Esther was going to see the king, she said, if I perish, I perish. And I used that as a prayer point for myself. I said, Lord, whether or not you give me a child, I will serve you. My serving you is not going to be contingent of me bearing children. And sure enough, that moment, I'm not going to tell you, I don't know when it happened. All I just know is that it was that moment that I had my moment of visitation without even knowing it. My husband and I, we were looking at each other and playing, it's a phone tag. You call voicemail, he calls voicemail. We're doing like a personal phone tag. Nobody wanted to say anything at that point because we're like, if we go and say it and write, our hopes go up and then really nothing is there. We're just looking at each other. He was looking at me, I was looking at him. Until one day I just took the courage. I said, I'm going to go and take another pregnancy test. I took the first pregnancy test. It came out positive. I thought it was a lie. I told him that let's go and get another pregnancy test kit. When we took the, I must have done like maybe that pregnancy test like more than one time. I know I did it more than one time, almost 7 times, because it just was surreal. It was really surreal. We're like, wasn't it the doctors that said, no? You see, what am I saying today? No man knows their day of visitation. Only the Lord can fulfill any man or woman. Please, if I say any man, know that I am talking about man and woman. I know today is Mother's Day. I have not forgotten. Amen. When the day of visitation came, it was like a trick. It was like, no, it can't be happening. But it did. Not only did I go through the pregnancy. In fact, one of my daughters in the Lord said she admired my pregnancy time. I said, why? My face was blacker than anything else. My feet were swollen. I was tired. Why? Because she said whenever she takes in, she's like on her back all through. She's weak. She can't do anything. But me, I'm up and running. I'm walking around. I even wore high heels during my pregnancy. And I said, well, to God be the glory. Hallelujah. And the Lord gave us a son. Amen. And then when the time came, and I told my husband, Toby cannot be the only one between us. In fact, the moment I told him, he still released it with a lot of, if my husband was like light skinned, he probably would be turning red and pink and blue. Because I said, it's time. Now. It wasn't up for discussion. There was not a discussion moment. Well, I did. I can tell you that somebody does that. It is me. Because in the days of John the Baptist, it was in the days of John the Baptist. Honey, let's do it now. It's time now. And I thank God. Oh, I thank God. 9 months later, we had an adorable lady, baby girl. That is the apple of my husband's eye. Amen. Hey, thank you, Jesus. What am I saying? Every woman can be fulfilled. So I'm applying my story, my testimony, to that of the Shunammite woman. Because I don't want you to think for a minute that because it happened in the Bible, it can't be hold true for us personally. Now, barrenness. Let me stop here and also say that barrenness doesn't necessarily mean the fruit of the womb. You can be barren in any situation. A dull marriage, bad marriage, that every time you want to go home and you're going to see or encounter your spouse, all you can think of, oh God, oh, let there be a traffic jam on the way. For let me be on the 435 South Freeway for the next 1 hour. I am not in a hurry to go home. Or you're single and unfulfilled. Understand, I said single and unfulfilled. The truth of the matter is that being single doesn't mean you should be unfulfilled. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? You should not become, one should not become desperate just because your friends are getting married and you have not yet gotten married. That is another testimony for another day. I was over 30 when I got married. I did not marry. For the majority of my life, I lived in Nigeria. By the time I came to the United States, within the first 1 year, the Lord sent my husband my way. You have to be fulfilled in any situation you find yourself. You have to make a decision to be fulfilled. This woman had a lack. The Shunammite woman had a lack. She did not have a son. But the Bible did not, even though I can dare say that as she stood in front of people looked at her and admired her. But nobody really knew the ache that was in her innermost soul. Because when the time of her visitation came, that she bore a son. In fact, before that time came, and the man of God prophesied to her, she did not want to believe it at first. That tells me what? That tells me that she had been expecting, and her hope was at that point gotten to the point where she probably in her mind also said, whether or not you give me a child, I'll continue, I will use all I have to serve you. All of my resources are yours, Lord. How do I know that? She took compassion on the man of God. The man of God comes to visit. She asked her husband. She was a woman of substance. She did not take it upon herself to make that decision on her husband's behalf. Amen. Because we want us to view, we're going to view her from three different dimensions. We're going to view her as a mother. We're going to view her as a wife. And we're also going to view her as a child of God. The Bible tells us that she asks her husband, this man of God, can we? She asks for permission. Oh my goodness. That tells me that she was a woman who submitted to her own husband. She submitted to her own husband. Amen. She submitted to her husband first before she submitted to that man of God. How many of us, children of God, amen, women, oh, submit in everything to our husbands? You know, I'm not calling anybody out, but it's something that I have noted, that a lot of women, married women, submit first more to their pastor than to their husbands. That is not what the Bible wants. That's not what the Bible says. We have to submit to our husbands in everything. Now, a disclaimer. I'm not saying that when it's an abusive relationship. That's a whole different story altogether. But I am talking about the one who you have chosen to stay with. That's why single women today, since today is Mother's Day, do not marry a man that you cannot submit to. I am saying that again. Please do not marry any man that you cannot submit to. Right from the day I met my husband, and I know a lot of people know the story, I have never called my husband by his first name. And this has nothing to do with the fact that he's a pastor. I studied the story of Sarah. Again, this is me talking about myself. I studied the story of Sarah. The Bible tells us she called her husband Lord. Oh, Lord. And when I look at it, really, how can you in any way insult or talk down to someone who you can't call by their first name? I thank God for such women in the Bible. She called her husband Lord. I call my husband by Papi. In fact, when I'm praying for my husband, there are times when I call him Papi Kalawansen. The reason why I'm saying this is that, you know, there are times when I'm deep in prayers and I'm praying for my husband and I say, Father, Lord, I'm calling my husband Kala Folabilawansen. It just doesn't sit well with me. Even in prayer. I'm telling you the truth. Because you see, when I realized that was for me the way to go, guess what? Our children cannot disrespect their father. See? Not everybody is matured enough. I am telling you now, I'm calling wives out. I'm sorry. You can get angry with me, but don't get angry with me. Get angry with the Holy Spirit. Or with yourselves. I have a problem with wives. I don't have any issues with you if you decide that you want to call your husband by their first name. That is between you and your husband. But what I am saying is, the fact that you call your husband by their first name is not a guarantee or a reason for you to disrespect them. That is why sometimes I will not sit down and watch reality shows. Why? Because they annoy me to no ends. Single ladies in the house, that is not the way to go. You want to keep your home? If you want to keep your home, every answer to every situation is here. I know there are a lot of bad marriages. I know that there are a lot of difficult husbands, and I know that there are some husbands that even me myself, I won't take off my shoes and smack. But, no, I'm serious. Because some husbands, and this is, again, I respect every husband. I honestly do. I'm not disrespecting anybody. But sometimes, when certain things come out of your mouth as a man, I just sometimes just shake my head. Like, why? Why? But again, wives, if you're married to such a man, you chose him. And you cannot become their Holy Spirit. You cannot become their Holy Spirit. Just because you are a believer, because you are a born-again child of God, doesn't make you better than them. You know why? You know that I heard that Daddy told us a story one time about the woman whose husband was a degenerate drunkard. This man will drink to the point it's passed out on Sunday mornings. She was a minister. You see, the day the Lord was going to touch that man, guess what? He became her boss in the Bible college. One thing that I am telling every wife in this house today, every mother, if you do not have it before, you must make that decision today. You must have a prayer closet. You must have a prayer closet to pray continuously, without season, without faint. Oh, for your family, your husbands, your children, you cannot stop. Regardless of how old these children are, they came out of our womb. Oh, even if they are married and you are a great grandmother, it does not matter. We cannot stop praying. That's why I love my mommy Lawanson. Every time we call her, she always has a word of prayer. Oh, she's praying for my husband. She's praying for me. She's praying for all of our children. She never stops praying. Oh, I know, you know, if there was a possibility to glance at her prayer cloud, it would be heavy and soaking. And then, thank God, that is here, the live presentation of answered prayers. This is a woman who never stopped praying for her children. Oh, thank you, Jesus, for praying mothers. Oh, thank you for praying mothers. You see, the day I made the decision to get married, to become a wife and to become a mother, oh, that was the day I said that I had to go and get knee pads. Oh, I'm praying every manner of prayer. I pray for all our children, even from Abiola that is getting married, even pray for the one she's getting married to, because now he's our child. We, as mothers, we have that spiritual responsibility that I think, and I know that God will call us into account for. That's why even as wives, you have to pray for your husband. It doesn't matter what that man is, who he is, whether or not he's an unbeliever, you have to pray for them. Because the day they turn around, the day of their visitation, you don't know. You did not make them. You did not create them. Just because they are the way they are right now doesn't mean that they're always going to be like that. You have to hold on to that faith and that belief that we have a divine assignment as wives and mothers. And the church is the only place where really you can hear this. Amen. I'm not taking anything out of anybody by saying anything that I just said. But if you want to blame anyone, blame the Holy Spirit or yourselves. Now, the Shunammite woman had a heart for the kingdom. We're going to look at her from three different dimensions. Let's first of all look at the Shunammite woman as a mother. The Shunammite woman started out barren. She didn't have any children. But because of her acts of kindness, compassion, generosity, giving to the kingdom, and still submitting to her husband, she had a day of visitation. If you listen, when we study her story, the man of God said, you will have a son. Not children, son. That tells me that there is such the significant fact that God knows our innermost desires. She might have been praying for children, but God knew she needed a son. Oh, and the Lord honored her. So she was a woman who was barren, but she was notable. Oh, and then in the subsequent verses on that chapter 4 of the 2 Kings, we also read a major story there. Her son, the one that the man of God had promised her, fell sick and died. Oh, the child of promise fell sick and died. What again did she do? Isn't that a sad? That was a very sad and distressing situation. She had been barren for so many years. She didn't have children for many years. And then the only son that was promised her subsequently died. You know, I had to go back and look at that story again. The child in the field was with his father. My head. The father did not say, go and send for a doctor. The father said, carry him to his mother. Oh, mothers, the Lord has graced us with a lot of power. Oh, mothers in the house, mothers to be. None is barren in this house, so I am talking to every woman in this house. Mothers in the house, mothers to be. The Lord has graced us with more power than some of us know. The man said, carry the child to his mother. And when we continue reading, she held that child on her legs until noon when that child died. Oh, that child died. A lot of us would have broken down. You know, the truth of the matter is that I personally don't know how I would react. God forbid. God forbid. That child died in her arms. What did she do? She took the child to the upper room, laid him on the bed of the man of God, did not tell her husband. Oh, I know that daddy will preach that one message another day. Did not tell her husband. She just told him, saddle me a donkey. I want to go and look for this man of God. What happened? It is well. Oh, the only child had just died. The first thing you're saying, it is well. It is well. He continued on her journey. Anyone that inquired, it is well. Oh, her son had just died. She did not go and say, let us plan a burial. She never gave up hope. Oh, she said, it is well. Mothers, ha, wives, it doesn't matter that situation. The Lord that we serve, oh, Rama Shekere Nemosa, just declare, it is well. Look at that situation. Think about that situation that you are going through right now. And just declare with the sound of your voice, it is well. Oh, it is well. Oh, it is well. She said it is well. And then her soul was filled with distress. From afar, the man of God knew that her soul was filled with despair and distress. Oh, thank you, Jesus. The man of God was on the Mount Carmel, was on a mountain. Ah, that on his own says, where does our help come from? Oh, this day and age, your help is in the name of the Lord. When that situation is beyond you, call on the name of the Lord. He is the one who can guarantee that answer, like no man can. No human can. It doesn't matter what they promise. This was a child of promise. This was a child of promise. A child of promise should not have died. But God will always be glorified in any situation. Oh, you don't hear what I am saying. God will always be glorified in any situation. All you need to do is call upon him in that situation. Coming to church this morning, our building looked like an art center. Somebody who the Lord is going to use decided to help us decorate the building. But guess what? It is well. I am not moved and I will not be shaken. The God that I serve is the Ancient of Days. So I know it is well. This woman, as a mother, she never gave up on her child. Mothers, we cannot give up on our children. We cannot, wives, you cannot give up on your husbands. It doesn't matter. Oh, Loma Shatarabos. As long as he's not physically abusing you. If in your own mind, in your own heart, you don't think that he is following the Lord the way he should, go to your prayer closet and pray for him. Stand in the gap on behalf of your family. Sleep should become a luxury as a wife and as a mother. These children that we have born, it doesn't matter how old they are still going through all sorts. Their mind is a constant battle place. You tell your child at home that Halloween is yucky. They go to school and say, oh, happy Halloween. How do you battle such? In this flesh, you cannot battle it. You can only ask for the Holy Spirit to intervene and interpret to them in the language that they will understand. And I thank God for the Holy Spirit. I thank God for the Holy Spirit. Wise mothers, if you don't know by now, I want to challenge you right now to create and make sure and make a decision today that you will have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. A constant relationship. A fruitful relationship. A relationship where you're constantly having a conversation like with the Holy Spirit, like he's your best friend and everything you have depends on him. You know why? Because we serve a God that is omnipresent, is omniscient, and is everywhere at the same time. Where you cannot be, where our children, every time our children are away from our sight, we don't know what's going on. Every time our husbands are away from our sight, we don't know what's going on. All you can do is send the Holy Spirit on an errand and say, Holy Spirit, I cannot do this on my own. I need you. Help me watch over them. Guide them. Help me separate them from any unholy alliance. Help me make them make decisions that are kingdom worthy. You see, the truth of the matter is that there's no matter how many times you beat a child with your hands or with whatever, it doesn't mean that they are going to go in the path that you want them to go. In fact, at a point, it probably will tantamount to child abuse. But the Holy Spirit, we need to understand that when we were all once children, anybody that came out of their mother an adult, please raise up your hand. So that means that everyone here was once a child. You went through what your children are going through. You passed through those stages. We all made mistakes. We need to always have that at the back of our mind so that we can extend that grace to them. But prayer, above all, prayer is the master key. Now, let's talk about the Shunammite woman as a wife. Hallelujah. I know that I approached it. But before I go into the Shunammite woman as a wife, I want to share a quick story. I heard somebody share a story of just to show and portray the influence of mothers. This lady was talking about Bill Cosby, that his son also attended his alma mater, and like him, his son also ran tracks. That the day that the boy decided he was going to run tracks, he was so happy. He woke up in the morning, in the snow, in the rain, was always training with his son. And sure enough, on the day of the track meet, the boy did well. And they gave him gave the boy the microphone to talk. And he stood up and said, "That's my boy, that's my boy." And then the boy held the microphone, and the first thing the boy said was, I want to thank God for my mother." Imagine that. I can just imagine how Bill Cosby felt at that moment. His wife would have been, "Yeah, that's my boy." Amen. Mothers, please never take for granted the influence we have over our children. We have to be watchful over the way we pronounce over them, the words we speak into their lives. One thing that I will never tell my child or any child is that they are stupid. I would never do that because they are not. You see, I am so watchful of what I say. Even if they annoy me up to here, I just look at them and say, "Your head like my head. Your nose like your father's nose. Go and sit down." Because it's true that whether or not their head is like my head, you know what I'm trying to say. But some of us grew up in homes where there was a constant abusive words. Anytime your parents were annoyed, the way you would know is when they begin to just pronounce these words. But thank God for the blood of Jesus. So if anyone, any parent, if any one of us parents is guilty, please let today be that day that you stop it. Oh, let's stop it. Because you see, if you did not carry them in your womb for 9 months and you can quickly forget all you went through for 9 months, then you should be able to say things that are negative over the children, even in your moment of anger. How many of us know that anger is not an excuse for negative words? We have to be watchful of any word that we pronounce for our mouth. The power of death and life is in our tongue. So we have to be continually watchful because we don't want any child to be lost. We want them to be fortified in the blood of Jesus. So as a wife, we already said that the woman, the Shunammite woman, she obviously submitted to her husband. She discussed a major decision with her husband and I believe that her husband must have agreed before they invited the man of God into their home. Now, what does the Bible tell us as wives? In the book of Ephesians 5, 22 to 24. "Wives, submit to your own husband as to the Lord." You cannot submit to God and you do not submit to your husband. Somebody's lying to themselves. "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be so to their own husbands in everything." I cannot emphasize that word enough. Everything. Not in certain things. In everything. One thing that I always jokingly say is, once you say "I do," you are done. You are no longer your own self. Then God blesses you, become a mother, you are father done. Oh, you are father done. I work full time. 8 hours, 9 hours sometimes. 30-minute drive home. The moment I step, in fact, my like Toby and Tammy, they are like, their ears are like peeled, just waiting for the sound of that of the garage door. Once it comes in, I pack. I first of all sit down. Sometimes I just take a breath. Because
It doesn't matter whether the two of them together weigh 100 pounds. Open the door. Mommy! Again, I take off the role of a wife and a mother. I want to say something else today that a lot of us might disagree with. And that's okay. But it is not my opinion. If the Bible tells us to submit to our husbands in everything, that means that you need to be careful the way you treat your husband in front of your children. You see, if you disrespect your child, your husband in front of the children, guess what is going to happen? Those children will disrespect their father. If you talk down to your husband in front of the children will think it's a right to talk down to their father. The way you treat your husband is the way the children will treat their fathers. There is no gainsaying that. You don't have to agree, but that is the obvious truth. I can never disrespect my husband in front of my children. In fact, I submit to both my pastor and my husband. I submit to both my pastor and to my husband. Ah, I'm sorry if you don't understand broken language, but God forbid that child that will disrespect my husband or their father. They will answer to me first before their father even says anything. It doesn't matter how old they are. In fact, growing up, I remember I was telling my husband one day, I said that growing up, I used to say something that the fear of my mother, Adebanke Adebisi, was the beginning of wisdom. One day, this was after I had graduated from the university. I'm talking to young girls here. I graduated from the university. I had even finished, I had done my first master's degree. So I had a very well-paying job. In Nigeria, I worked in the bank. I was earning $1.5 million a year. I had my own car. In fact, I was well-to-do enough to have my own place. You know, sometimes you just have this moment of insanity, thinking that you're all that. No, you're not. Because the day that I tried to mouth off on my mother, I'm taller than my mother. She looked at me, just went quietly, got a belt. Who were you talking to? Repeat it. Who born you? Repeat it. Oh, yeah, so there are times when she'll give me a backhand. My head is coming back and then, ping pong, bam, bam. Oh. The fear of Adebanke Adebisi was the beginning of wisdom. God bless her. Oh, I learned a lot from my mother. My mother was a resilient woman. She was resilient. We did not have much. But you see, I saw how my mother worked. Oh, how she sacrificed. She's not here today. The sad thing for me is that she's not alive today. So at least enjoy some of the labor, some of the fruit of the labor. But you see, had the lessons that she instilled in me are long suffering. And it's the same that by the grace of God I will pass to my children. Because you see, you cannot disrespect an adult. My mother would not sit there and you know. That's why even in America, it's hard for me to call older people by their first names. I just can't. I wasn't brought up that way. But in America, it's okay, but it is not in my own vocabulary. Wives, we need to submit to our husbands in everything. Everything. Not part, not take off, not that, oh, I'll submit to him with my finances, but I will tell him when I can give him my body. No. A lot of us have a problem with submission, but I'm going to tell you today that submission is a decision. If you can make that decision with the help of the Holy Spirit, on your own, you cannot. It's a lie. Anybody that says, I am naturally submissive, that's a lie from the pit of hell. Nobody is naturally submissive anything. We need help. We need a lot of spiritual help to submit to anybody. So we all need, as wives today, to make that decision. to submit to our husbands in everything. Because some of our husbands, our lives might be the only Bible that will lead them to God. Oh, our lives might be the only Bible that will lead them to God. Remember, you did not create them. We did not know them. But the one who created them, he knows them. He knows their end from their beginning. We always have to remember that. And then, I want to talk of as children of God. The Shunammite woman obviously had a heart for the kingdom. This was a woman who wanted to, who was ready to use everything she had for the kingdom of God through the man of God. She was, to me, that, what else, what other sacrifice can one have? She was notable. That's a given. That means she was very rich. She used her resources to serve the Lord through the man of God. Oh, how many of us can truly say that you have used all of your resources to serve the Lord? You see, today I want us to make a determination in our minds that regardless of what that situation is that we are going through, God is our all in all. God is our all in all. He's the one that can protect and watch over our children. He is the one that can protect and watch over our marriages. He's the one that can protect and watch over us, even as wives and even mothers. He is the Almighty God. A lot of us was not, none of us were, even if we were born in the church, that does not guarantee that we are going to make heaven. I really believe that every day, as wives, even as mothers, that we have to have a watchword. Let the Bible be our watchword. If it is not in the Bible, do not even let it not be entertained. Even if for you, you do, even if the word says submit, and you are not in a situation where you feel because your husband has done something to you that you find unforgivable, the Bible says the Bible did not say you have to submit to your husband only when you are happy with him, or submit to your husband when he's a loving man, or submit to your husband with a condition. It's a perpetual thing, submission. And I'm going to say here that nobody can fake submission. No one can fake submission. It has to be a perpetual character. It has to be through and through. It has to be everything that we do. At work, at home, in church, even in Walmart, submission. I'm just saying. Our mindset has to be tuned perpetually to submission o'clock. Submission o'clock. So that when we go to our God in prayer as a child of God, so that God will honor our cry. God will honor our cry even beyond our own expectation when our own ways are right with him. That is a decision that we all have to make. It's a decision that has to be on a continual renewal. Every day I decide to submit to my husband. Every day I decide to submit to the will of God. Every day I decide to submit to the Lord as my Savior. Thank you, Jesus. Santa Rabosh. Somebody said a fearless and focused woman cannot fail. A fearless and a focused woman cannot fail. Amen. So in conclusion, we all know that the Shunammite woman was wealthy. She was generous. But she made a determination that God first. Amen. And God will always be first in our lives in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, mighty God. Thank you, Jesus. The devil is a liar. The devil is a liar. The devil is a liar. Thank you. As mothers, as wives, you must never give up on our children. We must never give up on our husbands. You can never give up on your marriages. Regardless of the situation, we must hold fast. Amen. And hold constant to the word of God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. God's covenant lasts forever. His words are yea and amen. We have our own part to do. We have our own responsibility. God will not come down and fulfill our own responsibility for us. We have to fulfill our own part of the responsibilities as wives, as mothers, and as children of God. We cannot afford to be distracted from the divine assignment. Not everybody can be a mother, but everyone who the Lord has blessed, oh, to be a mother, because again I say, none shall be barren. When I say not everybody should be a mother, I'm talking about people who are selfish. As a mother, our wants cannot be more important than their needs. What am I saying? You know that the difference between want and need? Our wants cannot be more important than our family's need. We have to learn to be sacrificial. So a selfish person should not be a mother. They will breed monsters. Yes. And I pray that the Lord will give us empowerment. Oh, I pray that the Lord will give us empowerment in the mighty name of Jesus. Can everyone be upstanding?